Last week, Culture Vannon teamed up with Monja Verga to celebrate International Mother Languages Day, inviting second language communities to come together to explore the richness of linguistic diversity in the Isle of Man. Culture Vannon's Tiffany Carouche explains.
So it's been quite a challenge, really, to launch a completely new event for the first time on the Isle of Man. It's the very first time that we've formally organised a Mother Languages Day event, but it just seems so right to do it this year when it's 2026, Year of the Manx Language, and it's just wonderful to be celebrating our own language in amongst all of the other languages that are spoken on the Isle of Man, and it's a great way of introducing different cultures to the Manx language and vice versa. I think that sometimes that we can just go through life and forget that we've got so much diversity here on the island, and I think that people have enjoyed being invited along to be welcomed into the Manx community and to all get to know each other.
I interviewed representatives of 8 of the language communities who attended the event, and they'll introduce themselves as the programme progresses.
I am representing Nepal, so we have a team here of around 7 to 8, I would say, families who are living in Isle of Man. So yeah, we are representing Nepal.
Are you talking to Nepal?
And what's your name?
I'm Yasna.
Yasna.
Yeah.
What do you make of this event? How are you finding it?
I'm really finding it amazing and great, to be honest, to be a part of it. Coming from Nepal, we always have a theme like unity in diversity. And I guess coming here in the Isle of Man, I feel like it actually is unity in diversity, because the Isle of Man now seems like it has a lot of cultures, a lot of countries, and they are all living together. It's like very united. And this event is like giving us a lot of explorance of like what's going on, what's happening, how many people are here, we don't know, how many countries are here, which we are not really aware of, but it gives an opportunity to understand every country, every languages, and especially Manx. I really love this event. I really, really, really love this event, because I think we've got around 3 to 4 workshops in Manx languages, and I believe that me, especially coming here, and then everybody coming into Isle of Man, saying that Isle of Man is our new home, and it's really basic that we need to understand like what Manx is all about. Its languages, its heritage, culture, different traditions, and I think this is the wonderful program that gives us that opportunity to learn about Manx and to really appreciate Manx as our home, our new home.
Well, I suppose most people in the Isle of Man won't really know very much at all about your country. So perhaps if you started to tell us a bit about that.
Nepal is a country of many cultures, many languages, since we are in the event of Year of the Manx Language here, and then we are celebrating Mother Tongue. So I would love to specifically talk about the languages itself. We've got around like 124 languages that's been spoken in Nepal, which is amazing. Nepal is a country of Mount Everest, as everybody is aware of that. It has beautiful mountains, it has beautiful culture, it has beautiful greeneries. Everything about Nepal is amazing. And yeah.
Good. A bit like the Isle of Man, then.
yeah, we can be friends, of course.
And in terms of the languages, and presumably the 120 languages, are they in different language groups?
Yeah, somewhat. Like, everybody has their own sort of mother tongue, and Nepali is called as a second language, which is more like a language which unites all the people in Nepal. But they do have like their own sort of mother tongue, which they know and understand. But then specifically, Nepali is a second language, which unites everybody in Nepal.
And how many people do you know of on the Isle of Man that speak Nepalese or come from Nepal?
I think we have about 7 to 8 families here in Nepal, who speak Nepali.
And I should say, there's a whole load of shy people standing, standing, reaffirming your interview.
Yes, I mean, like, we've got a lot of people here. We would love to talk to you as well, isn't it?
It's good. Well, we will. We'll move on. But before we do, in Manx, we would say "fast amai," which means good afternoon. Tell us which language would be your mother language and. How would you say something like that?
Me specifically, my mother tongue is Nepali itself. And then if it was a good morning, I would be saying Subha Prabhat. But to make it much more easier, and then everybody knows about these words, we basically call Namaste when we introduce ourselves to anybody. It's more like of a greeting. It's more like hello to everybody. Yeah. So we go in like Namaste, Sanchi Hununcha, which is like, hello, how are you? Are you good? Yeah. Yeah, that's how we start our day.
Well, I know Namaste. What was the...
the next one. Yeah. That's Sanche Hununcha.
Sanche...
Hununcha.
Hununcha.
Yeah, that is... are you doing good?
Yeah. Good. And how would you say thank you? Gurumayad.
Oh, that's amazing. That's Dhanyabad. Dhanyabad.
Dhanyabad.
Yeah, pretty much same. Oh, well. Yeah, that's good.
Almost there. So I can start off by saying Kalispera.
Kalispera, well done. Kalispera, very good accent. Well done. You're talking to Nadia. Nadia Katsaiti is the surname, and I'm from Greece, from Patra, which is in Peloponnese, in Greece.
For those who aren't here, tell us a little bit about the Greek language.
Well, the Greek language, as I said to my speech, it's quite old. It's over 4,000 years old language, and it's still spoken. It's the base for the New Greek, if you want to call them New Greek, and it's the base. It's the language that created, kind of, if I can use a word, other languages, and it's a language that a lot of languages are using, like the medical terms and scientific terms, mathematics and all these. It's and continually spoken. We still speak the same language. Of course, not at the form that it was 4,000 years ago, but in order to understand the New Greek, you need to kind of like be able to learn the ancient Greek. Hmm. It helps with grammar.
Yeah. And in terms of this event, what do you make of it?
It's really nice. It's the first time, I've been told, it's the first time that it's taking place. And it's a very nice event. All these countries gathered in one space. Different cultures, different languages, colorful, so many colors, like Brazil and Bulgaria, so lovely, all together in one space, and talk about our mother languages, talk about our cultures, that's diversity, that's can be called also equality, some form, yeah, it's lovely.
In terms then of the of being Greek, I mean, mm-hmm. and moving to the Isle of Man, what are the things that you find different?
Oh yeah, that's huge differences, cultural differences. It's so very different. However, it makes it very interesting to me. The island is so beautiful. I love the nature, because I come from a big city. Nature is lovely, living within the nature. I like it because it's quiet. I like it because it's safe. And it was like, how can I say that? So very different, but at the same time, so kind of like familiar, may I say? So I moved here in 2019. It was Teen World Day. Yeah, and it was Bank Holiday. And the first thing I wanted to learn about the language was the political side of the language. I knew about the parliament, I knew about the team world, but I wanted to learn more because I like politics, I'm Greek. Yeah. and I really liked it. That's why I decided to stay and live here. Yeah, it's very beautiful.
bit, a little bit colder than Greek.
Greece. God, yeah, it's very, very cold. But you know what? I don't really mind. I don't mind because I've been in Greece all my life, all my life, in the sun, in the heat, and no thanks, help us. I prefer the rain and the cold. I had enough of the sun and the 40 degrees. It was too much. Yeah, I like it. I really do.
Well, in Manx, we would say Fastamai, and we've already covered that, Kalispera. How would you say, well, Goromayu, which is thank you, of course.
It's Evharisto.
Evharisto.
Yeah, Evharisto, well done. Very good accent. Well, very good accent, well done.
A good mimic, I think.
Yeah, it's Evharisto, and thank you very much. It's Evharisto Poli.
Evharisto Poli.
Well done.
Well, there we go.
And Parakalo. It's welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Parakalo.
Parakalo. And as far as future events like this, what would you hope?
For more people to attend, because it's a very nice event. And more countries to contribute, will even better, because there are plenty of other cultures here on the island, and they could also attend. I believe, because it's the first time, it wasn't very, you know, people knew about it, but I hope now that they will and will be able to attend next year.
Yindersach, wonderful. And I suppose the other question, which I haven't asked you, is are there many people from Greece living on the Isle of Man?
As far as I know, we're not too many. Probably 50, maybe less than 50. And most of the Greeks are in the medical sector, the hospital and the doctors. And another minority, I guess, a few people are working at the betting section. No, very few, less than 50. Yeah, yeah. It's a lovely event, and it will be very nice if next year is even bigger and more people attend. That will be lovely.
This is Juju from Ghana.
Akosua from Ghana.
Yes. You're here for the International Mother Languages Day event that's taking place here in the Promenade Methodist Church. What are you getting out of this?
Thank you very much. It's really an interesting and a great program, which I recommend that it keeps on going, to bring all internationals together, that we can see ourselves as one people, that when you come to somebody's country, you don't see yourself as a stranger, you are welcoming. We from Ghana, if you go online, if you get a practical experience in Ghana, you see that Ghanaians are welcoming people. And we believe this event can cushion that here also on the Isle of Man. So we are happy to be part of it today. Thank you very much.
What's it like? What's the differences, I suppose, between living in the Isle of Man and Ghana?
Living here is a quiet better than Ghana as for now, because it's very, very interesting people. Then a lot of things are always very, very, very nice, and then I like people. They like a lot of people around them. It's very nice. Yeah.
And I guess it'll be a bit colder here.
Yes, the weather, you know, direct opposite to where we are coming from, Ghana. Because, especially from October to date, very cold. If you go to Ghana right now, I don't want to use the word hot, but it is the heat is also fantastic. Mm. Yeah, so yeah, it's cold here, and we are trying to manage keeping the weather. Getting ourselves involved, because as compared to Ghana, because of the nature of the weather, we do a lot of things opening. We go out. You see people hanging around outside, but here it's not like that because of the weather. Yeah, everything is done indoors. So that is the differences here. And if you are coming from Ghana, when you come, it's not easy from beginning. Even now, it's not easy, but you just have to psych yourself. This is also another part of the world. And we have people here who have not died. And since you have also come, you'll also be able to cope and stay. and be a part of the people here. Yes. So that is it. Thank you very much.
How many languages are spoken in Ghana?
A lot of languages. So what I would say is that there are many languages in Ghana. Mention some. One is Twi or Fanti. The Fanti is closer to the Twi because most of the people in Ghana, when they're able to speak Twi, they understand Fanti. Or when you understand Fanti, you can also understand Twi. So we have that one. We have Ewe. We have Gan. We have Guan. We have Wasa. We have Hunter. We have Hausa, Dagumba, Fafra. There are a lot.
Lots of languages. And is there a common language? I mean, what language is the common language?
Okay, for now, I don't want to sound political or biased, but from my point of view, the Twi is the common one. Because even when international visitors come, the easiest language they're able to learn fast and speak is the Twi. Mm. So I'll say that is the Twi.
And just to finish then, in Manx, we would say fast am I for good afternoon. I don't know, would you say even good afternoon? But if you do would say something like an afternoon greeting, what would you say?
Oh, wow. So in Chi, good afternoon is Memawaha. Memawaha.
Memawaha.
Yes, Memawaha. Which means good afternoon. Memawaha. And then you also respond Memawaha.
Memawaha.
Yes. And then in Chi, if you want to ask somebody, how are you? In Chi, we say Etiseng.
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 Yes, Etiseng. And then
welcome.
And then you respond, Mehunye, means I am fine. Mehunye.
Mehunye.
Yes, I am fine. And then the popular one, which is becoming international, when you arrived in Ghana, in our airport, or at the airport, sorry, they will say, Akwaba. So it's becoming an international word. Akwaba means.
Akwaba.
Good, good. It means welcome.
Akwaba.
Akwaba. Welcome. Or you are welcome.
Yes.
Yeah. Yamau Akwaba. Yamau Akwaba means you are welcome. Akwaba. Welcome.
Yeah. Well, we have a word in Manx called Yindasach, which means wonderful.
Wonderful.
And Yindasach, Goromayo, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Medasi.
Medasi.
Medasi. Inchi.
Medasi. Inchi.
Hello, my name's Linda. I represent Latvian language community.
Tell us a bit about this event. What's your experience so far?
Oh, do you know, from just the moment I entered, it was just so lovely, warm energy, and everyone's so welcoming. And I always feel very like I belong, you know, when there's a celebration of culture, be it Manx, Latvian, Lithuanian, Zimbabwean, Ukrainian, Philippines, so many different cultures here, and it's just so lovely to see how language and cultures, even if the language is different, it feels like we, you know, because there's so many different ones, we can kind of unite through culture. I just really love it. You kind of feel like you belong when there's like different cultures representing, and it just goes to show that you know, no matter where you're from, as long as you have your identity and we are all open-minded, it's just really lovely. You just feel like, yeah, really welcomed and lovely. Yeah.
And I imagine having your own language and culture is a really important thing when you move away from your country. How important to you is having your language and your identity?
Well, it really is important because you know, I feel like language is one of the main, most important kind of points of expression, isn't it? So sometimes people ask me, what language do I dream in? And it's really hard to kind of remember, but you know, it's so ingrained in our identity, isn't it, culture? So I feel like that's the way to really explore your identity and really feel like kind of, I guess, connected to your ancestry, but also look, you know, forward, like, you know, ahead as well, and try and kind of continue it, even if it's a small language.
And Latvian itself, tell us a little bit about that language.
So it's part of the Baltic language group. There's only two surviving languages in this in the group. It's Latvian and Lithuanian. About 2 million people speak it. It's a wonderful language. It's apparently it's third most difficult language in Europe. I don't know that because I, you know, speak it from early age. But it's lovely.
Well, I often say to people that perhaps the most difficult language in Europe is English, because there's so many borrowed words, there's such a bizarre amount of spellings. You know, the same letter combination can be pronounced in maybe three or four different ways.
Yeah, that's one thing I found, I suppose, hard to kind of learn, that how it's written isn't how it's spoken. It's a good challenge to have.
And I'm asking all the people that I'm interviewing about language. So in Manx we would say for good afternoon we'd say fasta mai. What would you say in Latvian?
You'd say lajums laba pēcpusdiena.
So say that again.
Lajums laba pēcpusdiena.
Lajums
laba.
Laba.
Pēcpusdiena.
Pēcpusdiena.
That's it, yeah.
Well there you are. And the other one, of course, is gurumayu, which means thank you.
Yeah, gurumayat, yeah. That's lovely. So we say paldies.
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 Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Oh, well, there you are. I've learned something new. And in Manx, we would say, Shen Krapleg Elia Emahon. That's another wrinkle on my bottom.
Oh my gosh, I love it. should I say that in Latvian as well? Tā būs vēl viena krunka uz man dibena.
And don't ask me to try and pronounce that.
I am Bruna. I'm from Brazil. I'm living out of Man for 4 years now, and we moved long after the COVID hit, and we are been living here since then, and we decided to make Isle of Man our like home, and building our family here is basically that.
And the Isle of Man is a long way from Brazil, obviously. And what's different about the Isle of Man, would you say?
Well, I think it's quite different, mostly about the weather, because Brazil is a warm and hot country in general, and here is quite wet and cold most part of the time. But I think in general the most difference is a small community. We have this community spirit in Isle of Man, Brazil, because it's a big country. It all depends where you live there. If you live in a small city or in a countryside area, maybe you have the same mood and the same vibe, but if you live in a big city, you'll be basically like living in London or any other like big city. And Isle of Man for us is like this small, slow down way of living. We are looking for that when we move it. It's one of the things what brought us here. And of course,
well, unfortunately, I need to say Brazil is not the safest place in the world. And here in Isle of Man, we have the completely opposite. I feel very safe here. I can walk everywhere, even more being a woman. I can go any time of the day or night, and I know I'm going to be safe. No one's going to approach me in a bad way. And unfortunately, in Brazil nowadays, even in small cities like my hometown, you can go at all places at any time because, you know, there's like bad people around.
And in terms of language then, Brazilian Portuguese and the Portuguese spoken in Portugal, what would you say the differences are?
I dare to say, if you compare with American English and British English, they are the same, but they are different, because people living in different places, they usually evolve in their own way. Brazilian Portuguese is basically the same because we take Portuguese from Portugal, but then we evolve it by ourselves. And of course, during many years, we have influence for other people, like the native people from Brazil, or even the immigrants who travel like after the Second War, like Italians or Germans, or even English language. We incorporate some words nowadays in the Portuguese in Brazil. I think that's the main difference. We have the same roots from Portugal, but we evolved ourselves with our own influence.
What does this sort of an event mean to you? Do you often get asked about your culture and your language in the Isle of Man, or is this kind of a first?
I think an event like that is a really nice incentive for people to get to know many immigrants, because Isle of Man is a place we have people from everywhere, basically, and every time we engage in chat and say, oh, where are you from? I'm from Brazil, and people get curious, they want to know more. Most people know about the football, most people know about the carnival, but of course, there's many, many things besides the most popular ones, and I like people in general in Isle of Man are very welcoming with other cultures. They try to incorporate them in their daily basis, they try to learn more, and I think events like that just like engage more like the public, people getting access to different like cultures and languages.
And in terms then of language, we can't really go without using a bit of language. This interview will be broadcast in the afternoon, so in Manx we would say fast amai. What would you say in your language?
In Portuguese, maybe I would say bem-vindos, muito obrigada, e vejo vocês na próxima.
Great. And how would you say, I don't know, thank you?
Obrigada.
Obrigado. And there's obrigada and obrigado, isn't there?
Yes, because you have like the articles for men and women, and obrigado is if you're a man, and obrigada is if you're a woman.
I obviously learned something from your presentation, which is a good thing. Gurumai Moyo, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for covering this event. I think it's a very important one, and I hope they get along in the next few years with more people participating.
You are talking to Claudia from Germany.
How many German speakers would you say there are on the island?
Ooh, I don't actually know, but I think there's probably more than I know. I have quite a few German friends here, but I know there is quite a large German community. Isn't one of the, or ex-Douglas councillors, wasn't he German? And yeah, so I would reckon at least 500, but it could be several thousand.
In terms of your experience being in the Isle of Man, how is it different here to living in Germany?
How is it different? Well, it's very different, I suppose. But I suppose I've lived here for so long now. I only go back to Germany for holidays, obviously, where my family are from. And I've got so used to the Manx way of life that I've come to appreciate it. I like the way that things are going more slowly here. There's Treadlure. I suppose Germany is maybe more efficient in certain things, but is that always a good thing? I'm not sure.
And the other thing, of course, is you are not just a German speaker and an English speaker, but you're also a Manx speaker.
Shen kia, yeah. Tami ginsach gilg ons na skolen merish skimi gilgach.
Ons Berl?
I'm a teacher with the Manx language team from the Department of Education.
How difficult a language, or how easy a language would you say Manx is to learn?
Yeah, I think once you get your head round a few of the basics in Manx, like the fact that the verb comes first in a sentence, which is unlike any other languages I've known before. But once you get the basics, I think it's not that difficult.
Compared with learning English, I mean, English is quite a difficult language to learn, really, isn't it?
I've not found English to be that difficult. I think if you're an English native and you're learning German, that would be much more difficult. Because you can, as a German native, getting a sentence together in English that is grammatically correct is not all that difficult. Whereas if you're an English speaker who doesn't know any of the concepts of cases or different grammatical genders in German, then you're going to struggle to get a sentence together in German.
German words are famous for being quite long and complicated things.
Yes, they are. It's just, you just put the words together, and rather than saying the something of the something, like you do in English, you just put it all together, like Schifffahrtsgesellschaft, the shipping company, or Fußgängerzone, pedestrian zone, and there's much longer ones than that.
Yeah, and you've still got some way to go to beat the Llanfa Welsh place name, which is, I don't know, about 70 or 80 letters long.
I think I have been to that place. Is it in Anglesey?
Yeah.
And we've taken a photo of it, but I have no idea how to pronounce it because I don't actually know Welsh.
Well, Goramayu, son Lorun. I suppose the final thing, what's it feel like being at a multicultural event like this?
I think it's absolutely wonderful. I've just done a German sentence for Becky, who recorded me saying, "Dies ist ein wunderbarer Tag." It's really amazing to have so many different nationalities, languages represented. And as the Greek lady Nadia said in her talk, we're all cut from the same cloth. We're all human. We just need to learn to all live together in peace and harmony.
I'm Marsley Hodgson, and I'm representing the Philippines today.
And what does this sort of event mean to you?
It means quite a lot to us. It gets our country out there. It gets us involved with all other people as well, with different countries on the island. And it's good to socialise as well for us.
And in terms of the other language communities and nationalities that you're meeting here today, are there people from similar parts of the world as the Philippines here, or are you fairly unique in terms of your representation, geographic representation?
I think I was just speaking to someone in Brazil, and she feels like our countries have similarities, like we're both family oriented, and we're also both we live in the Philippines, we have third generation families living in the same household, and they said they have the same, so they feel like it's the same with the Philippines. I think it's like Spanish based countries and Portuguese based countries have the same culture and also like country based languages.
We spoke to your mum last week on the program. What language is it that you would speak? I mean, do you speak one of the Philippine languages yourself?
Yeah, I do actually. I speak at least three actually. So the Philippines has around 100 languages, and I do speak three, but they are getting a bit less in one of the languages because I don't speak it as often as I'd like. But when I do go home, I understand it, and I understand my family when they're speaking to me. And I also can speak a little bit of it, just not too much now, because most of my language that I'm speaking in Isle of Man is English.
If it's any consolation, I find the same. I'm a Manx speaker,
yeah.
And when I'm with my friends that speak Manx, I'm quite happy to speak Manx. But you spend a lot of time speaking a different language. It's hard sometimes to spring back into the other language.
Yeah, that's it. That's right. Yeah. Sometimes. Because I speak two other Filipino languages, one from the south and one which is a national, Tagalog. So when I'm with my southern friends, I'm speaking my Bisaya. And then when I'm with my other friends who aren't from the south, I speak the Tagalog. So yeah, my brain is kind of working differently as well when I meet them.
Well, I'm desperately trying to remember the Philippine language version of thank you, Goramayad, that I learned from your mother. Was it Kamapo?
Salamat.
Salamat po.
Yes, that's the one. Salamat po. Yeah, that's thank you.
And what other versions, what other language versions of thank you have you got?
So, I have salamat po, and I'm not sure what my Bisaya is.
Right.
I can't quite think of it right now.
Yeah, and sometimes languages don't have direct equivalents, because I mentioned to somebody about fasta mai, which is good afternoon.
Yeah.
But actually, some people just don't use that, do they?
Oh, okay. Yeah, we have. So the Tagalog is Bisaya is Mayong Buntag, and the Tagalog is like Kumusta or Mabuhay, which is the national version of it.
Yeah. So those are your language versions of Fast and My Good Afternoon.
Those are the two languages from my country, from Faster My.
Well, salamat po.
Very well, thank you as well.
Moroi, auntie.
Moroi, makadi, kunjani.
And tell us, because I don't imagine there'll be that many speakers of, and you'll have to remind me what the two languages that are.
So the two main languages which are spoken in Zimbabwe is Shona and Ndebele. Yeah. So three quarters of the population, they do speak Shona. Then the other quarter, they speak Ndebele. Yeah.
And I should have asked at the start, who am I speaking to?
Oh, so you're speaking to Gelinda Wadzanai Soda. Yeah, from Zimbabwe.
Great. And, you've just given your introduction to Zimbabwean languages and culture. Mm-hmm. I mean, you said you were nervous, but you seemed as though you were a bit of a pro at this sort of thing.
Yeah, I was a bit nervous. Yeah, but it was all right in the end, you know, when you warm up,
And how have you found today? What were you expecting, and has it lived up to your expectations?
Oh, yes. So today I found it really nice, and I felt like, I think if we were to do this over and over again, it's a place where I would bring all my family, my friends. They just need to come and witness this. Because what I've realized is over the years, people, we tend to lose our culture, our roots, obviously because of moving away from home or maybe relocating and stuff. But this actually motivated me that, you know what, people can still hold on to their roots. Learning, you know, the Manx language, the our own language, it just brings some pride and joy to the,
And it is a great thing, isn't it? I mean, I think sometimes people who only speak one language feel very threatened by lots of different cultures and languages. But actually, in most parts of the world, most people speak several languages, don't they?
Yeah. So in most parts, most people speak several languages. So, for example, in Zimbabwe, I have times where people ask me to say, okay, so is English your first language? No, English is not my first language. My first language is Shona. Yeah, so I grew up speaking Shona, but because in schools and everything that we used to do, we were taught in English. So I end up getting the benefit of knowing the both languages. Yeah.
And it's not a hard thing to know more than one language, is it? I mean, particularly if you learn as a child.
Yeah, so it's not very hard. But what I have realized is this is my own experience with my own children now that I'm leaving this part of the world. So when we move over here, because they are staying in nurseries for the most of their time, then I'll probably see them 2 hours, 3 hours. So even if I try to speak in my own language, for me, I feel like it's a bit slower than what I would have loved. So I've got 9 years and 4 years. They can understand because we speak it, but at the same time, they're not yet there to speak it or respond when I speak in that same language. So I realize that sometimes it can be a little bit slower than we expect as parents. Yeah.
Yes, myself and my wife, we raised our children as Manx speakers, and actually that's how we established Munja Vega, the Manx preschool organisation, to try and get more people interested. It is quite difficult when everyone else is speaking English to find ways in which you can get your children to speak your native language?
Yes, it is quite difficult, very difficult. But what I realized is the other thing which also maybe probably helps is I saw it like last month, I managed to travel with my two kids to go back home. So obviously from there was speaking the local language. So by the time we came back, I could see that my daughter could respond in English, the conversation that we're talking about. She learned in those 3 weeks, she had learned a lot of things. Yeah. So when they are young, they are quick to grasp. Yeah, they are quick to grasp a language. Yeah.
How important are events like this, would you say?
I think these events, they are very important and they should be done more frequent, because it doesn't benefit the kids who were born here on the Isle of Man. It's all the cultures. That's the good thing about it. So, like what I was saying in there, to say everyone is somewhere they came from. You've got origins. So the more we have this events like this, it helps them, you know, it helps our children to understand, you know, the where their roots. Yeah, if you ask my daughter to say, okay, so where are you from, she's like, I'm from Isle of Man. So then after that she then say, oh, but my mom is originally from Zimbabwe, my mom and my dad, that's how she described herself. So I think events like this, it helps them again know their identity. Yeah.
And I'd love at some point to talk to you about you were talking about the culture, part of the culture is storytelling, and particularly nighttime storytelling. That used to be a really integral part of Manx culture as well, but sadly that's pretty much lost now. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's great, isn't it? Because traditionally, before things like television and radio were invented, people would all get together of an evening and tell stories.
Yeah, so it used to be something that which united families, because I remember when we were young with my grandmother, we'll be sitting in this round hut, the thatched houses, all the grandchildren, and she'll be doing storytelling, and it used to give us a bond, even with my cousins, not just in my family alone, which is a shame that because of obviously internet, we have lost that. Yeah, because of social media and all that kind of thing. It's good, but it seems like our kids are now more focused on the gadgets, on the phones, you know, Facebook and stuff. But it used to give us a different bond. Like if you see me now with my cousins, with my other relatives, you think we are from the same mother and the same father, but because we were united by those kind of events, which would like, and at some point would eat, we have a big plate, then we can share the food from there. Yeah, and yeah, it was really nice and we bonded very well. Yeah.
And I suppose that it's a thing that's happening to cultures all over the world. People are changing. I mean, I can remember quite different times in the Isle of Man. You know, you were talking there about respect for people, and everyone was anti your uncle. It was sort of similar in the Isle of Man. You know, you would never think to use someone's first name to talk to them, even if you knew them quite well. It was it's a different thing, isn't it? Different age that we live in, I suppose.
Oh yes, it's a different age, and even for me, it took me a long, long time to adjust. Because when I moved over to the island, I was so used to be calling people, but with kind of respect. So I took a long time to adjust. I work in customer service, so sometimes even to say if someone comes and I call them by their name, it's still kind of hard until that person says to me, oh no, you can call me Steve. Yeah, yeah, then I can call them, but it's always I'm calling by Mr. something, not with their actual name. Yeah. And it's something that I've also tried to impart in my own children, to say when visitors come, firstly, we greet them. So when you walk into my house, my kids always come to greet you, and they don't address you with your first name as hi uncle, hi auntie, unless you tell them not to call you that. Yeah.
And you mentioned that when you went back to Zimbabwe with your children, they were wondering how many aunties and uncles you actually had.
Yes, they were wondering, because the worst part is in Zimbabwe now, my mother's sister is my mother. Yeah, so I call your mom. I literally call your mom. And my sisters, my children are supposed to call them mom again. So it becomes a bit confusing for them to say, how many sisters, how many brothers do you have? Yeah, but we did explain to them, and something that they understand, that it's part of our culture. We respect. So my mom's sister, even if my mom is not there, I can still say I have a mom, because she is in the same capacity as my mother, as my real mother. So, yeah, my kids are starting to understand it now. Even they can say, oh, you mean daddy, you mean dad in Australia. So they can now differentiate as in by places or location. So if they're talking about my mom, oh, you mean grandma in Budiriro, or you mean grandma in Beatrice. So those differentiations, they now know how to use them as well.
Yeah. Well, it's been lovely to talk to you. And in Manx, we would say, Goramayu, thank you. Mm-hmm. How would we say that in the two Zimbabwean languages?
Tinotenda, siyabonga. So, tinotenda, thank you, siyabonga, thank you again.
Tinotenda?
Tinotenda.
Tinotenda.
Yes.
Okay. And the other one was?
Siyabonga.
Siyabona.
Yeah, siyabonga.
Yeah. Hello, my name is Arun Kar. I am happy and delighted to attend this multicultural Manx language program.
And what's your overwhelming feeling about being here today?
Yeah, I'm very delighted to attend this program, basically. So being a small place, Isle of Man, we can see and we can attend in this program is like multicultural, multilingual people from all over the world, I can say. Mm. So it's pretty nice to attend here today.
And what's the difference between living in the Isle of Man and living in Nepal?
Well, so living in Nepal is definitely your own place, so you have your own culture and things. But coming here in the Isle of Man, working and living together along with all the Manx people, or like the people from all part of the world, is very like a good experience to share our cultures, Nepalese cultures, among the peoples.
Well, it's really good to have so many people, so many cultures here today. Certainly for me as a Manxman, a Manx Gaelic speaker, hearing all these different languages and doing my best to try and remember them all, it's a great thing. Languages yourself, I mean, what languages do you speak?
I speak Nepalese, Maithili, English, Urdu, Hindi. Yes, I can say I have five languages.
And the second of those languages sounded exotic. Tell me about
Maithili,
that.
Maithili. It's my, basically, Nepali is our like national language, but Maithili, to the culture where I belong, is a kind of like regional language. Mm. And it is the second most spoken language in Nepal. So it's almost similar, but the way we present, the way we speak is a bit different, but the letters and everything is same as in Nepali.
And we heard before that a greeting would be namaste.
Yes.
Is that the same?
Yes, pretty much same. We call it namaste and we call it like a thank you as a dhanyavad. So it's almost similar, but in between, like, we have a different, like, how are you? We call it in Maithili, kenachi. Kenachi.
Kenachi.
Yes, in Nepali we call Sanjay Hununcha, in English we call how are you, and in Maithili we call it Kenachi.
So well, Kenastau would be the Manx version, how are you?
Not that much, because most of the people living here will speak the English, and the work, the place I work is mostly the English speaking people.
Yeah, yeah.
So we are very much like less exposed to the Manx language, and it's really feel good to have like know something about the Manx language here today.
So it's Wendy Shimin, the coordinator of the One World Centre.
And this must be a dream for the likes of the One World Centre, this event.
It's fantastic to see so many people from so many different cultures all here celebrating in the Isle of Man. Well, I think it's just being part of a community, isn't it? So people feel part of their own communities, whether they're Manx or from another culture, but it's just so nice to be able to share that and to enjoy and, you know, give people a bit of an education as well about lives beyond our small island. From all around the world, it's been really nice to see such a wide variety of cultures represented here today, and people are really proud to show what their homes, their original homes are like, and to help other people enjoy those as well.
Because we all like doing that, don't we? We all like talking about where we come from, and as a Manx person, I love to talk about my island and the language and the culture that comes from here. And it's the experience I've had is that people are as interested in our language and culture as we are in theirs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the One World Centre is all about finding those points of connection, and events like these really help that. You know, you find, oh, well, you know, you speak a different language, but, you know, you enjoy this food, or you go like to go to a beach somewhere, whatever it is, it makes, you know, we are all so connected, and we tend to forget that, and this is a wonderful opportunity to share all those experiences.
A range of speakers there from the many language communities represented at the World Mother Languages Day event. So what do you think? Are we doing enough to share Manx culture with others? Can our passion for our languages and heritage bring us all together? Did you learn something from the speakers today? Let me know your thoughts on the programme by contacting philgorn@manxradio.com and get in touch if you have any ideas for future shows. Don't forget, this programme is available as a podcast. I'm Phil Gorn. Go to Mayus and Geistiachrom. Thanks for listening.